of when you think of Christmas, but it's normally a time when we have permission to kind of ignore our problems. We talk about getting into the Christmas spirit, and there's certainly lots of things to be cheerful about as we spend time with friends and family, exchange gifts, and eat good food. But there's also a reality that the first Christmas is so far removed from our Christmases today. The first Christmas was full of shame as Mary was pregnant before her marriage to Joseph, something that was a complete scandal in those days. The birth of Jesus was dirty and smelly, dare we admit, as he lay in a manger where animals were or where they'd just been recently put out. And then it was full of fright as Jesus, the toddler, had to run away from Herod, who wanted him killed, making him a refugee in Egypt. And if we're honest with ourselves a little bit, these stories remain true for us 2,000 years later on. Today, the world remains a messy place. And it might just be the way I'm thinking from an experience that I had recently that really stood out for me later on as I reflected on the experience. And it was that I had the privilege this year of being in America for a few weeks. And I was in New York on October 31st. And I had a tour guide take me around, and I was able to see the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. And then we went to the memorials at 9/11. And as he was explaining to us what happened back in 2001, a road next to us was closed off, and all of these cars began to spin by in a row. Police cars and ambulances, fire service, and I don't know, some kind of other government agency that was black cars, black tinted windows that looked like the movies as they went past. And the tour guide, as part of his tour, seemed to understand something significant had happened in New York. And it was no longer about looking at memorials that had been placed, but he was able to say, having lived in New York since well before 2001, I can tell you that the response of these cars is not a normal response. Something significant has happened, and that's actually when one of the terrorist attacks took place. It was on the 31st of October in New York. It wasn't near me, it was nothing to do with me, but his ability to explain what had taken place based on what he was observing. At the time, it seemed really normal to listen to this tour guide, to accept what he was saying. But afterwards, I realized there was nothing normal about that, that your tour guide's able to explain to you that something tragic has happened in society just based on what's around him, on the responses. It seemed like part of the tour because it's part of what we hear about every day. But of course, it wasn't part of the tour. It was something that stood out and that was quite shocking. Afterwards, looking at people's response in New York who were shaken, watching after the couple of days that I remained in New York for those days as people wondered what was going to happen every single day before we forget about it and life goes back to normal for us. And so it leaves me with this little question of where does that leave Christmas for us? Many of us want Christmas to be a break from worries that we have to deal with. Christmas becomes a way to escape. Families put aside differences. People get into the Christmas cheer, and the world celebrates season greetings together. And it's a good thing. Families should put their differences aside for Christmas. I'm not discouraging that. But the original Christmas message wasn't about escaping from reality. It was a response to reality. Far from painting over the cracks for a few days, pretending that things are not as they may be, Christmas is the answer to the cracks. And I think that that is much more hopeful and much more beautiful for us. We see the issues in the chapter that we read, Cora read for us, thank you, in Isaiah, written 700 years before Jesus' birth. Much like today, there's talks of burdens, of oppression, of battles, and of garments riddled, rolled in blood. 2,007 years ago, Israel was dealing with the same issues that we deal with today. War, injustice, and pain. But we're told in verse 6 of a promise that a child is born. To us, a son is given. We're told that this promise is a great light shining in the darkness. And we're told what kind of child this will be in the next few verses, where he describes him as being Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I think the message of Christmas is a resounding victory into the world. I'm really grateful, I'm really glad that Christmas comes so close to the new year, but I'm really glad that it comes before the new year. A week before 2018 rolls in, Christmas ends the year of 2017. Whatever might have taken place, there is a resounding message that a child was born, that a son was given to us. 700 years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah told us this son was more than just a child. He was a Wonderful Counselor. The best counselors give us the best advice, even when we don't like it. They give us the truth, and they help us to live in that truth. Not only did Jesus come as a Wonderful Counselor, but he brought the power and authority because he is the Mighty God. God, the Creator, who knows us intimately, chose to be born a humble child. God himself, who has an all authority to transform us. The might of God given as a sacrifice ultimately on the cross as Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, that through faith we might be set free from our own rebellion against him. Not only was he able to forgive us, but he is also an everlasting Father. Through the work of Jesus, we're made God's family forever. A million years from now, those made family of God will still be sons and daughters, fully accepted as children of God. And finally, we're told that he'll be Prince of Peace. The final promise that Christ one day will end the misery and pain on his return to this earth, as he's promised. That the governments will be on his shoulders and he'll reign as a prince. And what will that princehood be known for? It will be marked by its peace, its ruling in peace. And I just think we have a great opportunity as we look to the world for answers, when we think about what kind of year we've maybe had, when we realize the reality is that next year we'll have plenty of things in the news to shock us, plenty of experiences that make us realize this world is dark. And if we're true to ourselves, we realize that we also are dark. Turning from God, we have a hope that shines into the darkness. Into the darkness in our hearts, into the darkness in the world. A son is given, not just given, but to us, for us. God could have done anything. He could have chose to send anyone to tell us a message. He could have done it any way, but he knew the only way to really bring us back to him was to go himself. And so Christmas is a reminder that God said yes to that challenge. He chose not to ignore the problems in the world. Even though at times, like Christmas, we like to ignore the problems ourselves, God refused to do that. And he responded to them not in anger, not in disgust, but in love for us, offering life to all who believe. This Christmas, we're invited not to ignore the cracks for a few days or pretend to be someone we're not, but allow Christ to be our response of hope in our lives and in the world. The response needed to be great, and we got it in a mighty Savior who came himself to be the light in the world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that at Christmas time you remember that you're not a distant God. Father, I thank you that your work was not just helpful, but it was complete. And that in coming into the world, you have given us life to the fullest in your birth, in your death, and in your resurrection. I thank you for this opportunity to celebrate Christmas, and I just pray that we would recognize you are the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the Wonderful counselor for us, the Prince of Peace. In your name we pray. Amen.